Have you ever missed something important? Something of significance? Maybe you forgot an important date. Or maybe you missed a child's ball game or play at school or family reunion. As I mentioned a few things there, does something come to mind? Have you ever missed something important? I'm guessing that each of us has something that has come to mind over the years. Maybe you missed an announcement or some important piece of information. All kinds of reasons that we miss things. I don't know if there's a technical term for it when we miss something significant because we're distracted with something else, but all kinds of reasons that we miss important things. It sure seems likely that's what was happening on the night before that first Christmas. This evening, today, we're wrapping up a series that our church has been going through called The Night Before Christmas. And tonight, we're going to be in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Small town of Bethlehem was flooded with people who had been born there and moved away, and they came back to Bethlehem to register for a census. It was busy with crowded streets, overbooked hotels, people scurrying about looking for economic opportunities to make some money, and they missed the birth of Jesus Christ that took place right in their midst. You've probably heard of the couple by the name of Mary and Joseph. We're going to find Mary at full term. She's going to give birth to her son, Jesus. She's ready to move forward. Some of you have been there and know exactly where she's at. Mary and Joseph, they lived in Nazareth, a little bit to the north, and they make their way down to Bethlehem because of this census. Joseph was from Bethlehem originally, needed to register there, so he wanted himself and Mary to be counted. Of course, there's the taxes aspect as well. I don't know about you, I'm glad that we don't have to go to our hometown in order to have the benefit of paying taxes, right? But Mary was 9 months pregnant, about to give birth. They knew anything could happen. They'd heard the prophecies. I mean, they had to have been familiar with the prophecies that a virgin would give birth in Bethlehem. I'm sure they were somewhat prepared. But it's still interesting to me that at 9 months, they make this trip down to Bethlehem. She didn't grab her phone and call a taxi or an Uber with an app. It took them about 3 days to make the journey. I mean, can you imagine? They arrive in Bethlehem. I'm sure they were tired. She probably wanted to get a manicure and a pedicure and a foot massage, but none of that was available. Tried to check in at the Marriott and get told that, well, we're booked. There's no room here. So sorry. And we know the story, don't we? They go searching and eventually found what some would say is a cave. Others would say it's more of a stable. But regardless, Jesus the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, royalty, was born in an area where animals were. I mean, there was probably urine-stained hay nearby. And they wrapped him in rags after he had been born, put him in a food trough for animals. And that's where our story kicks in today. Jesus has been born. Luke chapter 2, I want to read verses 8 through 20. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. I'm guessing it was totally lit. Yes. The younger people in the room. They were terrified, shook. That's all I have for tonight for you young people. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. But in the meantime, back in town in Bethlehem. I mean, talk about missing what really matters. Everyone in Bethlehem seemed to be distracted, oblivious to this young woman named Mary who was just given birth to a son. With everyone so busy, it's interesting to me to think about who received the announcement of Christ's birth. Angels appeared to shepherds outside of Bethlehem with the good news of Jesus' birth first. I mean, the people of Bethlehem in town missed it in the middle of the busy time, being reunited with friends and family, scrambling around to find places to stay. But just outside of town, in the quietness of the night, there are shepherds watching their fields at night. You wouldn't think that shepherds would have been the first ones at the top of the list that would get the invitation. But you have to wonder, maybe it's because they were the only ones who weren't too distracted. It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? It's easy to get overly busy in life. Corey Ten Boom once said, "If the devil can't make us bad, he will make us busy." When it comes to knowing God and you living life to serve Him and to serve other people, the enemy wants to distract you. And at this time of year, at the Christmas time, it's almost like distractions go into overdrive. We are going to and from and here and there. And if we're not careful, we get bombarded with anything and everything but the real significance of Christmas. In this series, this is the third week, we've talked about Rome, how Rome missed the first Christmas. And we talked about how Rome believed they had all the answers. So why look anywhere else? Rome was ingenious. They invented things and discovered things. So why did they need to look anywhere else? They believed they were good enough. Rome wasn't looking for a savior because they didn't think they needed one. And Rome also believed that power was greater than love. Anybody that came up against Rome, they would squash in a moment. We consider Jerusalem. How did Jerusalem miss the Messiah when they knew the prophecies, when they were expecting the Messiah? How did Jerusalem miss him, our Savior, our Lord? Well, Jerusalem was all about race and religion. Who you were and what you did. Jerusalem was all about the political. Jerusalem was all about the status quo. But Jesus is all about life change. What I want to talk to you today is when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, most of Bethlehem missed it. They were too busy, too distracted to notice. And this is Christmas Eve. And if we are not intentional about some things that are going on in our lives, some of us will miss that the Messiah is here among us. So I want to give you just a few distractions at Christmas. First of all, there are ways that we get distracted. First of all, we get distracted by pain. There's some of you here tonight who this is a difficult time of the year for you. Whether it is the loss of loved ones or strained relationships or maybe you're flying solo and you don't want to be isolated and that is magnified during the holidays. Maybe there's some financial tension or strain in your life, and again, that is magnified during this time of the year. There are some of you who are struggling to get past your past, and again, that is magnified. When our focus should be on Jesus, oftentimes, if we're not careful, we get distracted with pain. The second distraction that I think happens is we will sleep through the supernatural. Sometimes during Christmas, we become so numb to the reality of what this season is really about, what Christmas is really about, we just kind of sleep through it. We miss it. We have an opportunity. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago here at this church that Christmas has now surpassed the time of year when people are open to hearing and considering Jesus. And so we have an opportunity to bring Jesus to the forefront of our homes, the forefront of our discussions, and use it as a time to talk about what really this time of year is about. And if we're not careful, we will sleep right through it. We'll miss it. We need to be shaken awake at times. Third, if we're not careful, we'll get distracted because we obsess over presents with a T and miss His presence with a C. We're obsessed with presents. We have to go here and get that present and go there and get this present. And we're focused on all these different things. And you know, presents are not bad. There's a few under the tree with my name on them. And I'm excited. I confess I did a little shopping today yet. Anybody else Christmas Eve shoppers? Yeah. Confess before the Lord today? Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with presents. But sometimes it's easy to get distracted with them, and we lose focus on what's most important, the presence of God. Fourth, and you might like this one, oftentimes we get distracted because we're angry with Uncle Eddie. Christmas vacation, right? How many of you have an Uncle Eddie in your family? You can raise your hand. Please do. Okay, put your hand down. If you did not raise your hand, you might be Uncle Eddie. Just let that sink in for a minute. No, we're going to go to their house this year. No, they need to come to our house this year. We have 5 people in our family. It's cheaper for them to travel. Why do we always have to go there? The last time we went there, things were horrible. They should come to our house, but leave the kids at home. I mean, but your sister, you know, and her husband, and your mom, why does she always have to put nuts in the pumpkin bread? What? And those are just surface level things, aren't they? Your ex, why doesn't she come over to see the kids? They need to come see the kids. All those types of things. We get angry with Uncle Eddie. You've been there. I've been there. So what can we learn from the shepherds in the field? What are some things that we can notice from their experience? All the busyness and distractions are taking place in Bethlehem. The people there missed it, but the shepherds didn't. God chose to share the greatest news of all time with some lowly shepherds on a hillside. They didn't miss it. So here are just a few ways that you can have a Jesus-filled Christmas. And of course, the same reasons apply to why the shepherds didn't miss it. First of all, be in a place to hear from God. Be in a place to hear from God. Luke 2:8 says the shepherds were out in their fields instead of in the middle of the busyness of Bethlehem. It wasn't that they intentionally got away from the craziness. They were just doing their jobs. But a benefit of their jobs had them out on a hillside away from all the craziness. Some of you will be on the outside looking in this year. And it might be a little bit lonely. And it's not that you want to spend Christmas alone with family far away. It's not that you want to have a silent night. But then again, I really doubt the shepherds just loved their job. I doubt that they wanted to be out there in the middle of the night, but that's where they were. Many of you find yourselves in Bethlehem right now. And I know it's fun and it's exciting to have family and friends visiting. But as I'm talking, perhaps, you're thinking about the checklist of things that still need to be done before maybe this evening's fun or tomorrow's meals or travel, whatever it may be. Second, be willing to act on what God tells you. Be willing to act on what God tells you. The shepherds weren't too busy to listen. They weren't too busy to respond. They don't just receive the news about Jesus and then stay out there. No, Luke 2:15 tells us the shepherds turned to each other and they said, let's go and see this thing that's happened. I'm pretty confident if you would just slow down for a moment and we would listen to what God has to say to us, if we would focus on the birth of Christ, you would be challenged. I'm confident you would be challenged to just reflect for a moment the meaning of Christmas in your life. When we stop and we consider what God has done for us, the significance of Him sending His Son here to this earth, the sacrifice that was made on our behalf through Jesus on the cross, when we give our attention to that, even for just a moment, the great lengths God went to so that we could get out of the predicament that we're in, life wouldn't just continue as usual. No, there'd be a sense of urgency in our lives. It says the shepherds, they hurried off with a sense of urgency and speed. They realized this was the Messiah that they'd been hearing about for 1,000 years. So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Here's the deal. Make no mistake about it. The residents and visitors of Bethlehem, they were running about too. They were busy. They were trying to make some money. Register for the census. Find a place to stay. It was busy and there were things to do. But the shepherds, their running was taking them to Jesus. There's a difference. So during this season, we've been running, haven't we? You've been running to Bath and Body Works? Or Sam's or Penny's or Sears, maybe? my encouragement to you, friends, to every single one of you, today, this evening, tomorrow, in the midst of all the chaos, find some time to just hit pause for a moment. I mean, the next several hours, we could live drastically different than the previous several days. Let's find a moment to run to Jesus. I know there's probably some movie marathon or TV show that you plan on binge watching over the next few days, but just find a moment to turn the TV off, turn off YouTube and the smartphone and the tablet, and yes, guilty as charged, okay? But let's find a moment to talk about Jesus. We have an opportunity again to run to Jesus during this time. Let's make it different. The residents of Bethlehem, they were scurrying about. The shepherds chose to run to Jesus. Every week here at the church, we have a takeaway. It's just kind of a simple challenge, something that hopefully you can put wheels or put feet on the message and take it home and do something with it. This evening, I want to challenge you just to pick one of these. Pick one. Hopefully something will connect with you. First of all, make a commitment. Make a commitment that as much as possible, you will worship with the church this coming year. That you will be a part of a church, and it doesn't have to be this church, okay? But make time to be a part of a church on a regular basis. Worship with a sense of expectation and awe that God would show up in your life. Maybe for you, you need to invite someone with you to church this year to meet Jesus. Did you know the average person invites one person to church in their lifetime? It's something that we're so uncomfortable with. I would challenge you, friends, invite someone with you to church this year. The shepherds, what did they do? The second that they saw Jesus and Mary and Joseph, they started telling everyone what they'd experienced. I'm kind of picturing in part because what they experienced, they wished they were with them. Boy, I wish my brother Jim had been here for this. I wish my cousin had been here. I wish my coworker, you know, they're going through a tough time. I wish they'd been here for this. People will often accept an invite from someone that they know. Shepherds immediately go and start telling everyone who will listen. Third, peace and quiet. The night's not over yet. I know there's a lot of things going on in your home, in our home. Find a moment for some peace and quiet, to stop and consider what God has done. Maybe tonight, in the midst of it all, or once the kids are down, you could just step outside for a few moments in the dark, and I haven't checked if it's a clear night, but look up and find the brightest star in the sky. Maybe even raise your hands for a moment, and the neighbors will think you're weird, and that's okay. But glory to God in the highest. Take a moment just to connect with God, to be intentional about it, to not miss what really matters. And then finally, maybe this one for you. If you have a nativity in your home or wherever you're visiting, I want to challenge you. Maybe just spend a few moments in private in front of the nativity. And just work through the different elements there. I mean, imagine yourself there. What it would have been like to be in the stable, about the size of a one-car garage, perhaps. I mean, to be there and smell the odor of the manure, the animals there. If you waited long enough to hear the sheep and the goats, and then consider the manger. I mean, it may be ceramic or plastic or wood. I don't know what you have in your home or wherever you're staying, but the original manger would have been dirty. Joseph would have had to have probably cleaned it off. And, you know, Joseph being a carpenter, I'm sure his hands were rough and calloused, but he was so gentle with his new baby son. Mary, can you see her? Young and tired, perhaps a little bit afraid, but a smile on her face as she holds her new baby Jesus. Consider Jesus, God in the flesh. I mean, I wonder what it would have been like to be there. I mean, the shepherds were there and they experienced this and took all of this in. I mean, they sure wouldn't have known, though, that one day Jesus would have a crown of thorns pressed down on his head. I don't know if maybe they would have taken a moment to, you know, pinch baby Jesus' cheeks. They wouldn't have known that one day a soldier would spit on his face and beat him. I wonder, I mean, I doubt they had hand sanitizer at the time, but if they would have held out a pinky finger, if baby Jesus would have grabbed a hold as infant children do, they sure wouldn't have known that those hands would one day do amazing things. They would make the lame to walk, the blind to see. They would raise the dead back to life. Those hands would be nailed to a tree. I wonder if they would just picture his infant body there. They surely wouldn't have known that those tiny shoulders of the Son of God would one day carry a cross. And with that cross, the sins of everyone in this room. And the traditions, the celebrations of Christmas, they're great. But if you find yourself too distracted to remember what is most important, if you find yourself too busy to take the time to let someone else know the change that you've experienced in life, what God has done in your life, then friends, it's time to slow down. And if you do, when you do, you might just witness something incredible. Let's pray together. God, again, we thank you for this day.